glad this morning that you're here. I'm glad that the Lord is here. I feel like the Lord has made that arrangement. I don't think you're here this morning just by chance, but I believe that the Lord had a way and a purpose in you being here. I believe that the Lord is going to speak to each and every heart. It's a time of opportunity for all of us. Receive the blessing of the Lord, the benefit the Lord has for each one. I would readily acknowledge the need of the Holy Spirit this morning to bless His Word. Well, I recognize without that, we're all in vain. I feel like the Lord has given me a burden this morning. Maybe He's given me some of His Word. And I trust that it will not return void, but that it will accomplish what God designed for it to. Very, very familiar scripture that we want to start with. It's in the 11th chapter of Matthew. And I'll start with the 25th verse. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord declaring to us plainly here, when it comes to eternal things, spiritual things, or even to know the Lord, it's hid from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. It is revealed by the Father that we might truly know the Son, that we really might know what He came for and what He can do for each one of us. When He speaks about giving us rest, twice here it's spoken of, said, I will give you rest, and you all shall find rest unto your souls. We want the Lord to reveal that to each one this morning, to know that through the truth, and through His Word, through His Spirit, He is able to impart to every individual rest in your soul, or peace in your soul. I really don't know everyone's spiritual condition this morning. I wouldn't even want the job of determining who was saved and who wasn't saved. And I don't know just how you feel deep within you this morning, but I do know this, that the Lord knows us individually. He knows this morning those that are troubled in heart, and those that are heavy laden, some with sin and others with other needs and problems in their lives. And His declaration here is to come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you that peace, the tranquility, the rest to your soul. That's what God desires to do in every heart and every life this morning. He desires to relieve you. There are many this morning that's carried burdens and guilt and condemnation, troubled hearts for a long time. And all the time the Lord's saying to us today, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. And so I would encourage each one of us this morning not to be all that concerned about others, but let us look down into our own heart and our own life, and assess the rest and the peace that we have deep down in our hearts and our life. I smile and I like to see smiling faces. I like to see pleasant countenance. But I've come to conclude that not all pleasant countenance has peace down in their heart. Have you ever heard anyone tell about before they gave their heart to the Lord? They're in a time of song, of invitation, and how they sang so earnest, and how they tried so hard to look calm and at peace. And all the time there was that turmoil and troubling within their heart. Probably most of us have experienced that. Before we gave our heart to the Lord, conviction was resting upon us. We were in the presence of others, and we would try hard not to disclose or to reveal in any way that I'm really troubled a little bit down in my heart. The Lord this morning is looking into each one of our lives. He knows all, all of our thoughts all together. He knows we that are labored down, heavy laden, weary in our souls, troubled in our souls, not totally content and happy and joyful within our very innermost being. What He's saying to us this morning is that He came to give us rest. He came to give us peace deep down in our hearts. That not only in our countenance, but as we're all alone with ourselves, and all alone in our own thoughts, in our relationship with God, there is that peace and the rest and the quietness that Jesus came to give each and every one. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, speaking about the curses of disobedience, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, and in the 65th verse, it says, "And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, for the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt have fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou wouldst say, Would to God it were even. And in the even thou shalt say, Would to God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see." Speaking of a condition that we would generally refer to as trouble, of fearful. Fear is a terrible thing this morning. Anxiety and uncertainty. And the scripture there was telling us how that people so discontent and so without rest, they wish it were in evening, they wish it were morning. Morning they wish it was evening. Just total discontent. We live in a world like that this morning. There's a lot of fear and anxiety and unrest, guilt, condemnation. That's the time that we live in. And I really don't know this morning just how your life is. I don't know if you're experiencing some of that very feeling. In the 57th chapter of Isaiah, and the last two verses, it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, there is no rest, saith my God to the wicked," to the unbeliever, to that one that is not submitted and yielding and obedient to God and His Spirit. There really is no peace. There is no rest. That's the world that we live in this morning. And that is also some people that we associate with. People that we love dearly. And our heart goes out to them. It's a hard life. It's a hard way to try to get through life and be weighed down with uncertainties and fear in guilt, in condemnation, and not a total peace and rest, that the Lord has come, that He's designed to bless each and every one of us with today. I notice also in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, and the 17th the 32nd chapter and the 17th verse said, "And the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in a quiet resting places." What the Lord says concerning His people, those that know the Lord, those that it has been revealed to what His purpose is in YK. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And His people have done that. We have come to the Lord. And as we come to the Lord, He's blessed us with peaceful habitation, sure dwellings, and a quiet resting place. Our desire this morning is that would be the experience of everyone. You that are here this morning that are not enjoying a quiet, resting place deep down in your heart, a real assurance, know that it's been given to God's people, to those that know the Lord. But to those that come to the Lord and yield to the Lord, He has promised to bless us deep down in our hearts with a real quiet, assurance, and peace, and rest right in the midst of all this troubled world this morning, right in the midst of all the wickedness of this world. His people are in a peaceable habitation. His people this morning have a rest and a peace that the world didn't give and that the world cannot take. Regardless of what we face, or the conditions of life, how we may be treated, neglected, abused, there is a peace this morning. There is a quietness. There is a rest that God imparts in the hearts and the lives of His children. And I want us to have that. I want us to recognize it and receive it into our heart and life. The enemy has been too successful in plaguing people with sin and imposing sin in their hearts and their lives. And with that, condemnation and guilt. And without the sentence of death and no rest and great fear, when Jesus came to give rest, when He came to give peace, when He came to bring deliverance. There are those today that are endeavoring to live for the Lord who the enemy has successfully taken their peace and taken that rest and that close assurance in their heart and life by imposing His ways upon them. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus came to give rest not only to the unbeliever, but a soul rest to everyone that knows Him this morning. And everyone that would yield to Him and let Him be their peace and their rest in their life. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, I want to read a few verses now in regards to the rest that the Lord has for each one. That let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake of a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. And again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest is also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In this passage of Scripture, it teaches me that God has a rest for his people, a spiritual rest, a rest from our own works, a rest from our own righteousness, a rest that's within him. It's also a rest of peace, tranquility, and joy. I noticed that the rest was declared to us by the word of the Lord, by the gospel. As the gospel was brought forth, it declared of the rest that God had prepared for his people. And that makes me to know that it's true today. There is that experience. There is that place. Regardless of what my experience might be, or how I may feel a need in my own life, there's no question in my mind this morning that God hath prepared a place for his people, for those that believe, for those that obey, where there is a peace and a rest, a tranquility, a joy, a freedom from fear and anxiety and guilt and condemnation. That place is there. It also teaches us in this passage of Scripture there were some not able to enter therein because of unbelief, because of their failure to accept and to yield and to believe and enter into that rest. I want you to know this morning there are still those that are denied the rest simply because of their unbelief and because of their unwillingness to yield and to submit to God and to his Spirit. For God's Spirit is faithful to declare to us today by the gospel that this experience and this place is to all men without respect to person, young and old alike. He has this rest that is given to us if only we will believe. Now, it tells us that we're able to enter into this rest by receiving the gospel and by embracing it by our faith and through our obedience. We're able to enter into a rest that the world really knows nothing about, a rest that we can have deep within our hearts and within our souls this morning. It comes through our faith. Our faith being mixed with the gospel, being mixed with the word of the Lord. And I found that my faith is pretty much controlled or determined by my will, by my choice. And if I am willing to exercise or yield my faith to God's word, the provisions he's made for us, then I can have the blessing. I can have the peace. I can have the joy. Have you ever known someone that knew the Lord and it seemed like they just radiated the peace and the rest and the assurance and the joy of the Lord? I have, and I'm sure a lot of us have this morning. What had happened was they simply received that gospel truth by faith, and they yielded to the word of the Lord, and they yielded to the Spirit of the Lord, and it moved them right into that contact and that relationship with God that brought a peace and a contentment and a rest that the world couldn't give, that man couldn't obtain to in their natural state or ability. But it was God's plan, God's provisions that he's made for each one of us this morning. This morning, you know who you are, and you know in your heart if you have this rest. You know if you have this peace. And if you don't, I want to tell you this morning that it's for you. No matter how long your struggle is, no matter how long you've been trying hard to feel better about yourself and change your ways and feel good down inside, I want you to know this morning that it comes through the gospel. It comes through the promise in the word of the Lord. And that being mixed with our faith, our choice, and our decision, we each one can have a peace right in the midst of this wicked world. Right in the midst of times of disappointment and heartache and problems and troubles, we can have rest. We can have peace. We can have the joy that the Lord has provided for us. I want to emphasize now briefly the importance of having our faith mixed with the word of the Lord. For we're not really able to receive anything out of the word of the Lord without a faith, a pure faith, in His word, and in our yielding and our submission to the word of the Lord. And for that illustration, I want to turn to the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was speaking to His disciples, 13th verse. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now it's getting down to a personal response. And that's what it takes to enter into this place of rest. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You remember when I read in the 11th chapter of Matthew when I started, when the Lord spoke about knowing the Father and knowing the Son, that it was through them that we're able to understand and to be revealed. I'm convinced this morning, when it comes to knowing the Lord, when it comes to knowing the truth, when it comes to knowing the rest that we're speaking of this morning, it will be when it's divinely revealed to us in our hearts and lives, and our faith embraces that and receives it. It's something more than just what we would obtain to in our natural person. The apostle said concerning this revelation of Christ, it wasn't necessarily flesh and blood that revealed it, but was my Father that revealed it. I would to the Lord tonight, today, that the Father would reveal the message I'm endeavoring to bring. I would that He would help us to know and to see that there is an experience, there is a place individually in our hearts and lives where we can have peace and joy and victory consistently day by day in our hearts and our lives. Do you think that Peter could have been talked out of this revelation? No. Could someone come along and say, "Well, do you really think that's the Christ?" No. No, because God revealed it to me. And because He revealed it to me, my faith is set on that. My faith is sure. I cannot be changed. I know that's the Christ because it's been divinely revealed to me. I want the Lord this morning to reveal some other things to us divinely, that we can have our faith mixed with that truth, that we can have our faith mixed with the gospel. And that's how it will work in our hearts and our lives, when it's truly divinely revealed to us. When I think of the gospel this morning, one of the most important messages of the gospel is a great plan of what we commonly call salvation, forgiveness of our sins. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and this again is the word of the Lord, it tells us here to let the wicked, start with the 6th verse, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and do our God, for He will abundantly pardon." I believe that this morning. I believe that when an individual is away from God, when there's sin in the life of an individual, if he will forsake that way, and if he will seek the Lord and repent of his sin, that as the Scripture says, he will have mercy upon them and he will abundantly pardon them. I believe that. I know it's that way. But I'm convinced for one to truly repent, they must have a faith that is mixed with that promise. And that's what caused godly repentance. That's what causes people to seek the Lord for forgiveness of their sins, is when the gospel comes forth, as it is in this Scripture, and when they respond to that with their faith and their true repentance, then we find that the Lord is there and that the Lord is more than willing to forgive and to make whole and to bring the rest and the peace of sins forgiven. In the 34th chapter of Psalms, and the 6th verse says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be filled with guilt and condemnation. And let it not be with disappointment and failure and feeling the unrest and without peace. For it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his trouble." I believe this morning that when that truth is mixed with our faith, that it will bring the peace and the joy and the happiness of knowing that our sins are forgiven. This poor man, this humbled man, this desperate man cried, and the Lord heard him. It works this morning, folks. If you're here this morning and sin has plagued your life, know this, that that's something we all know about. We all, like sheep, went our way. We all went astray. We all come short. We all were failures in that way. We were lost. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so this morning, if there's sin in your life, I'd like to encourage you to know that Jesus is plenteous in mercy and ready to forgive. I'd like you to know this morning that as this poor man cried, the Lord heard him. People need to get poor before the Lord. People need to cry to the Lord. "Lord, I recognize I'm lost and undone, and I entreat, I seek your mercy, your forgiveness." And there's no question in my mind this morning that God is ready to forgive. God is ready to restore to those who have lost their way, to those this morning who perhaps have tried a time and time again and feel that really there's not much use. "I've tried to live for God. I've sought Him. I finally come to the place where I felt like maybe it just wasn't for me." I want you to know this morning it is for you. And the plan will work for you if you'll become a poor man. If you're willing to humble your heart, if you're willing to seek the Lord in contrite repentance, the Lord this morning is here, and He's ready to forgive, ready to restore, ready to bring rest and peace down in your heart, your life. You don't have to go on with guilt and trouble and condemnation in your heart this morning. The Lord came to bring deliverance for that. Fear is a terrible thing, isn't it? I suppose that most everyone remember fears in our lives. As children, remember sometimes there was just fear of the unknown, fear of what we wondered about. And it has such a torment, such an unrest. Do you know today there are people living that way? Fearful, without rest, without peace, troubled, still in trying to enjoy life. And all the time, that's why Jesus came to the world. All the time, that's why he came and gave his life and sacrificed himself there on the cross was to bring peace, was to bring rest to a world that we know this morning. So may I encourage you this morning to seek the Lord. I thought of other ways that people are denied rest and peace. I thought of the gospel this morning that calls us to consecration, dedicate our lives to the Lord. I thought of the conditions of discipleship and follow the Lord. And I'm convinced that there are people today that are torn between. They have sought the Lord, they've received forgiveness of sins, and yet they have been reluctant to make a total commitment to the Lord. That also is a troubling time. Probably a lot of us remember that. That we want to be saved, we want to be a Christian, live for the Lord, and yet as the gospel came forth and Jesus clearly gave us the directions that we might truly be his disciple, 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, 25th verse, there is a great multitude with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not or love less his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The 33rd verse says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And what a troubling experience it is to want to be his disciple and want to follow him and want his smile of approval and his blessing upon us and not be willing to make the commitment, not be willing to consecrate and to give him our all. Jesus plainly stated there that he must come first in your life. To be a disciple, even those lawful things, mothers and fathers, companions, those that are lawful, those that are good, that he must come before them. And many times people struggle with that in their experience, in their life. They want to live for God, and yet they want to hold on to their rights or their lawful things and want to put them before God in God's purpose and God's plan for their life. That time we need our faith to be mixed with his invitation. We need this morning to have a faith that will respond to the word of the Lord. 12th chapter of Romans, remember it says, I beseech you therefore that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. God is calling for total consecration today, total dedication to the Lord. And when we come to an understanding or a knowledge of that and fail to pursue it and fail to yield to it and seek it in our heart and life, there becomes a troubling down within us. There becomes an unrest. God has more for me. God has greater graces. He wants to use me in a greater way. And I come to an understanding of that. Yet I have a difficult time turning loose and truly giving my all to God. 10th chapter of Mark, the Apostle Peter, I believe it was. Yes, 28th verse. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. We need to receive that with faith, with belief. Need to really get a hold of that today. To know that the promise of the Lord is if I will dedicate and consecrate totally to Him, He's going to repay me 100-fold in this life. He's going to respond. He's going to give far more than I give up. And when that faith, like Peter had concerning the Christ, that strong faith, that strong revelation that this is the Christ, and as this truth becomes revealed to us like Christ was revealed to Peter, then we'll be able, from the heart, to make the consecration. Be able to make a total dedication of our life and our whole being to God. And we need that this morning. We need that to find the rest and the peace and the joy that God has designed for the Christian life, for the life that God has for us. And it only comes as we, from the heart, make the total consecration, make the total dedication unto the Lord. But we must receive it with faith. You can hear it all your life. We can hear that, you know, the church teaches and the ministry preaches that we need to consecrate our lives, and so it's an established fact that I need to dedicate and consecrate my life to the Lord. But until our faith lays hold on that, the calling and the reward and the blessing of that, we no doubt will just go along with desires and intents. I really intend to do more for God. I intend to give Him more of my time and more of my life. Planning day after day and year after year, I plan to live a more dedicated, consecrated life to God. But it never is going to be accomplished until our faith takes hold without question, without doubt, and to come to a place there's not an individual that can talk me out of it, because it's been divinely revealed what I give to God, He's going to give back to me. He's going to bless me. He's going to reward me. And that's where the peace is. That's where the rest is. I don't know this morning. I wonder, is there some here that are saved that don't feel a perfect peace? Don't feel a real rest and tranquility? You feel that God has dealt with you, and you felt this morning that I really need to be doing more for God. I need to have my life more fully committed to Him, and I want to do it, and I'm not tempted really to go back into the world or to sin against God, but I'm still having a difficult time making the total commitment, the total giving of myself and my life to God. Is it possible this morning that God, right in our midst this morning, would use lives in the mission fields, in the ministry, in every capacity, if there was a greater consecration, a greater dedication? And so I would this morning that God would help us, that our faith would be mixed with the gospel, that we would embrace it with all of our heart, not only the deliverance from sin, but the truth of the benefit and the call and the blessing of a dedicated and consecrated life given to God's service. We need that today. I want to mention the example of the children of Israel. And over here in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, it tells us about the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was a land of rest, in one sense, that they didn't enter into because of their unbelief. But in this land of Canaan, which we commonly refer to as our sanctified experience or our consecrated life, the 7th verse says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt not eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may dig brass. Now when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He has given thee." That's the experience of a total consecrated life, or a sanctified life. And the Lord gave that land of Canaan to His people. It was promised to them. It was theirs by right. And yet, as I read over to you in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, because of unbelief, they did not enter therein. I believe with all my heart this morning that God has the land of Canaan for His people today. And I believe in that land. It's a land with brooks of water, the water of life, His Spirit. I believe there's a land or an experience that's without scarceness or lack of anything, where there is the fullness of His blessing, the fullness of His Spirit, His righteousness, His grace in our hearts and lives in the land of Canaan. And the Lord has provided that experience for everyone. And the way that we go into that land is when our faith is mixed with a promise. God has promised to bring me into an experience, into a place where there is no lack, where there is no thirsting for life's pleasure, nor adorning rich and gay, where I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away, right in the land of Canaan, right where God has provided all the blessings and the victory and the strength and the power and the grace in my experience in my life. And God wants us to possess it today. God wants you to move into it today. And if you have attempted and you don't feel totally satisfied, He's still saying, come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. If you've labored within yourself, if you tried within yourself to be strong, to be victorious, and have the grace that you should have, and it's failed, He's saying to us today, come unto me. I've got the answer. I've got the experience. I have the grace. The promise is yours as your faith is mixed with the invitation. I believe in that this morning. I believe that God wants to bless us with it. He wants to give it to hearts and lives. I would ask us again this morning to look into our own life. Not so much others. You know, sometimes have you ever wondered if someone was sanctified? Don't worry about that right now. Let us look into our own life. And how much rest and peace and joy are we enjoying in the Canaan land? In the book of Joshua, after Moses' death, you remember? And God was speaking here to Joshua. Second verse, it said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. In every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that will I give unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards going down to the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He's saying to us, go forward. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I will give you rest. I'll fulfill my promises. In every place that the sole of your foot, by faith as you move on, and by faith as you yield and submit and call on me, that's our faith in action, I'll be there. And I'll grant you the desire and the plan and the need in your heart and life. There doesn't have to be any question in your mind this morning whether I'm in the land of Canaan or not. Whether I have the power of the Holy Ghost working in my heart and life this morning, we don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to be troubled about that. It is a definite experience that God wants to bring us to and lead us into. Rest to the soul. Peace like a river. In Isaiah, didn't it say something about those that would obey the Lord? 48th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord speaking to Israel here. The 18th verse, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. As my word came forth, as my spirit brought it to you, as we would hearken, as we would yield, he says his peace will be as a river. You ever see a large river flowing? The abundance of that, the endlessness of it, that's what God wants to bless in our hearts and lives this morning. He wants you and I to possess that peace that flows like a river. The victory, the joy, the rest, the tranquility down in our hearts and our life and in each one of our experiences, it can be ours this morning. Jesus came to bring rest. He came to bring peace. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor. This morning, if you're laboring in your experience, if you're not enjoying the power and the blessing and the abundance that's in the land of the Canaan, and you find at times you're not having sufficient grace and strength and power in your life, I want to encourage you to come to the Lord. In the 119th Psalm, the 165th verse, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. We're speaking about people being troubled today, and the peace that the Lord has provided. Sometimes people this morning have a troubled heart because of sin. Sometimes they have a troubled heart because of a lack of consecration and obedience and dedication to God and God's will. Then I have found also that sometimes people are troubled in their relationship one with another. And I want to briefly mention that before closing. The Lord this morning has truth. He has provisions where you and I can be at peace not only with Him, but at peace with one another. That we can be at rest with one another. You say, well, no, you don't know how that person treated me. Or you don't know how they misjudged me or misunderstood me. You still have peace. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? People do me wrong, think wrong of me, misjudge me, abuse me, and I still can have a rest in my soul, a peace in my heart. In the 15th chapter of John, I find some very challenging instructions from the Lord. The 9th verse, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And I want to assure you this morning, as we have that quality of love one to another, as the Lord had for us, it's going to deliver us from a troubled heart. It's going to give us a peace in our heart toward all men under all situations. If we truly have the quality of love to one another that Christ had to us. For with that quality of love, he certainly has been merciful to us. And he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And when there are problems between individuals, if one of them will exercise the grace and the mercy of the Lord, they can have the peace and the rest and the joy. If an individual will be willing by God's grace to forgive someone that offends them, they can still have rest and peace and joy. Someone has done me wrong. They haven't treated me right. They did me real bad. But I have the privilege in the Lord, through that love, that quality of divine love and grace and mercy, to forgive even as Christ forgave me, to totally release it. I don't have to have ill will. I don't have to have bitterness. Now, I know this morning that this is something we don't really accomplish in our own selves. Nor is it natural nature's ability to exercise, but it's divine. And it's God's word. It's God's truth in our heart and life, that love. that actually enables and empowers you. That regardless of the offense, regardless of your rights that have been trampled and done wrong, I can have mercy, I can forgive, I can release, and I can have rest down in my soul. Can have peace, can have joy. Isn't it a wonderful plan? With this love, it lifts me above, and I don't have to be envious or jealous. Didn't Scripture say jealousy is cruel as a grave? Jealousy is a terrible thing. Envy is a terrible thing. Sometimes it's buried deep in people, and they're able to control it somewhat. Maybe you wouldn't be really aware of it, but oh, how miserable it makes people. And we're talking about a rest down inside. And the love that God shed abroad in our hearts enables and empowers us not to be competitive, not to be envious, not to be jealous, but in honor preferring one another and loving one another and caring for one another. And regardless of what other people do, they cannot quench that within our own individual hearts and lives. That's the love that God gives us. That's the quality and the strength of it this morning. And this morning, I don't know each one's life. I don't know your trials. I don't know what people have done to you and how they've hurt you and how they've really wronged you. But I do know the God of heaven this morning has a love, a divine love, and has a powerful grace that will actually enable you from the heart to forgive and to release and to love and to care for all men. And to me, that's the standard. That's the standard of holiness this morning. That's what the Lord brought to us. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Laboring and nursing my hurts. They hurt me so bad. They did me so wrong. I don't know if I'll ever recover. You probably won't in your own self. But thank God this morning, through His love, and through His grace, He made a way of escape. I can rise right above it. I can be victorious. I this morning can have that rest and peace and joy in the Lord, regardless of what life deals me. In closing, I remind you of a scripture over here in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. The 5th verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When it comes to the law of the Lord, the truth, the way of God, loving Him, nothing will be offensive, nor will we turn from any of that. And to be clothed in humility and submit ourselves to God and to one another enables us to have true humility and true modesty of heart and life. Do you ever know someone that's pretty stuck on their own opinions, their own ways? And they become contentious. And contention brings strife. There's not much rest down there. You know, sometimes people in their own way, even maybe with good intent, rob themselves of peace and rest that the Lord has. Well, I was right, and so I stood with it, and I wasn't about to change, and nor was I about to submit or to give. I'm not speaking of doctrinal things. I'm speaking of just the natural events of life. My rights. And I was right. And so I contended for that. And as I contended for it, I become troubled in my heart. And I didn't really have the peace that I wanted to have. Do you know that sometimes you can submit when you're right? Humble yourself when you're right? It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? But it'll bring peace. And bring rest. The Lord many times was falsely accused
He answered not a word. Just submitted to God. There's times in our lives that we need to do that, where we can maintain the peace and the joy and the rest that the Lord wants and blesses each one with. As I said in starting, I don't know each heart individually. I don't know, but I'm somewhat convinced this morning there are those that need greater peace and greater rest. I'd like us to stand. Let us sing 481. You've longed for sweet peace. Stand and sing this song, and anyone that desires agreement of prayer this morning, we'll invite you to let others pray with you. And don't settle cheap. If you don't have a true heart rest this morning, the Lord has it. You don't have total peace and contentment, the Lord has it. Let us seek the Lord while there's time and opportunity. Amen.